Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. How ADHD affects home organization. Understanding the role of the 8 key executive functions of the mind by Lisa Woodruff. Read by Lisa Woodruff. This book is dedicated to all those who have helped me grow in my knowledge and understanding of ADHD and how it affects every aspect of a person's life. To Springer School and Center in Cincinnati, for their continued pursuit of knowledge, best practices, and strategies that benefit both the students at the school and the Cincinnati community at large in the fields of learning disabilities and ADHD. To the Affinity Center for their multidisciplinary assessment and treatment approach to treating ADHD at all ages with a unique holistic view. I am thoroughly fascinated by the way the mind works. It is my desire that at the end of this book, you too will understand how the ADHD mind can learn to be organized. Foreword by Chris Mayhall, PhD. Lisa Woodruff has a natural affinity for jigsaw puzzles. She actually enjoys working with all those pesky little scattered pieces to fit them together. I don't get it. Jigsaw puzzles make me queasy. Despite her great fortune at having an aptitude for envisioning order when she sees chaos, and for organizing just about anything while actually enjoying the process, Lisa is still quite a likable person. Lisa understands at its core, as only a few do, the anguish and shame experienced, particularly by many women with ADHD, when disorganization overwhelms a person's life. Women with ADHD often move through life accompanied by an unending stream of should messages running through the backs of their minds. I should be able to keep up with the laundry, or I should be able to organize the house and keep it that way, for example. When other people seem to be able to do these things with relative ease, those with ADHD struggle with the belief beneath all those should messages. Something must be wrong with me. Fortunately, Lisa knows better. She knows why organization can be so challenging, and she knows with certainty that it's not because something is wrong with you. She knows the ways in which specific aspects of attention functioning, also called executive functions, get in the way of organization. And she knows that people resources matter. She wants to help you to learn the actual reasons why you struggle with organization. Lisa's deepest desire is to share with you the information and tools she's discovered that work for people with ADHD. There isn't a one-size-fits-all answer, but knowledge about ADHD and the executive functions leads directly to understanding what strategies can work for you, what strategies probably won't work for you, and why. Lisa's wisdom, humor, and perspective are quite unique and powerful. The same is true of the wisdom, humor, and perspective you'll find in these pages. You're in good hands. Chris Mayhall, PhD. Introduction. For someone who does not struggle with ADHD, I had a heck of a time completing this book. Here's why. ADHD is a complex spectrum disorder. I'm a wife, mom, and a professional organizer. I knew how to help get a home organized, but I struggled against my own fears of offending others, not having perfect information, and not having a one-size-fits-all solution for you to implement and follow in 3 easy steps after reading this book. I was making this way too hard. Let me start at the beginning. Too often, when women call Organize 365 to ask us to help them get organized, they end up whispering to me, "Well, I have ADHD," or "I'm depressed," or "I can't stay focused." Women feel like they're broken if they can't do this organization thing on their own, and that grieves me. Organization is a skill that can be learned by anyone at any time. I truly believe that. It's just easier for some than for others. While I myself do not have ADHD, I have successfully parented, taught, and professionally organized those who do. Along the way, I learned a lot about how the brain works. One of the best emails I ever received said, "Oh my gosh, no one has ever been able to explain my brain to me before. You know how I think." Others email me in tears, saying how they understand why they haven't been able to make the progress they wanted to make in organizing their homes. Knowledge is power, so I must share what I know. Even if that only helps one person, that person might be you. How to listen to this book. If you're listening to this book, it's likely that you have been diagnosed with or suspect you have ADHD. And here's what I know about you. You think fast. You don't need rosy explanations or lots of extra words. They just bog you down. Get to the point. Okay, I will. In part one of this book, I will address a whole host of related topics that usually come up with my ADHD clients. Each of these topics are addressed in super short chapters, so you can easily skip through them and listen to only those that interest or apply to you. In part two, I will dive into each of the 6 executive functions that I have helped clients and students overcome to live more organized lives. At the end of each chapter, you'll find a list of related Organized 365 podcast episodes to help you delve deeper into that topic. And if you go to organize365.com/ADHD book, you'll be able to see pictures of the organizational ideas that I mention, links to additional blog posts and podcasts, and links to other electronic resources. And finally, in part 3, I will provide some additional resources to help you move forward in getting your home organized. Let's get started. Part 1, ADHD and the 8 executive functions. What ADHD is and isn't. Let's get on the same page. In this book, I will share with you my experience and research about ADHD and how it relates to home organization. It stands to reason that we should start by defining some terms. ADHD is a spectrum disorder that manifests itself through the 8 executive processes of the brain: flexible thinking, working memory, self-monitoring, task initiation, planning, organization, impulse control, and emotional control. Basically, the executive functions of the brain help you plan, organize, and complete tasks. The term spectrum disorder means that which executive functions are impacted and to what degree varies from person to person. While you may have a deficit in one area and be strong in the other 7, another person with the same diagnosis may have a deficit in 7 areas and be strong in only 1. Additionally, there are indications that your executive function does not reach maturity until the age of 30. The brain is an amazing and dynamic organ. This is important because understanding which executive functions you struggle with will help you decide which strategies and accommodations to implement to finally get your home organized. The 8 executive functions of the brain defined. So what are the 8 executive functions of the mind? Number 1, flexible thinking. Flexible thinking is the ability to adjust to the unexpected. Someone who struggles with flexible thinking has a hard time when someone else changes their schedule at the last minute. Number 2, working memory. Someone with working memory has the ability to keep multiple pieces of information in their mind at the same time. Someone who struggles with working memory easily forgets what they're saying in a conversation and misses steps in multi-step directions. Number 3, self-monitoring. Self-monitoring is the ability to evaluate what you're doing compared to other people. Someone who struggles with self-monitoring can have an overly positive or overly negative view of themselves. Number 4, task initiation. Task initiation is the ability to take action and get started. Someone who struggles with task initiation knows what to do but cannot make themselves do it. Number 5, planning. Planning is the ability to pick out what the most important thing to do next is in order to get everything done. Someone who struggles with planning resists making lists because they are overwhelmed with everything that needs to be done. They cannot prioritize the weight of one activity over the next and default to taking care of things when they only reach critical state. Number 6, organization. Organization is the ability to keep track of things mentally and physically. Someone who struggles with organization has a hard time putting things away and remembering where they left items when they're not put away. Number 7, impulse control. Impulse control is the ability to think before acting. Someone who struggles with impulse control will blurt out a statement and wish they could take it back, or impulsively eat a cookie before remembering they're on a diet. Number 8, emotional control. Emotional control is the ability to keep your feelings in check. Someone who struggles with emotional control can take suggestions as criticism and overreact. I am not going to cover these last two executive functions in this book. The executive functions of impulse control and emotional control tend to have the least impact on the adults I work with, in my opinion. Impulse control involves thinking before acting. In home organization, I don't see this as a significant area of concern. Emotional control is the ability to keep emotions in check. While I am sure this does impact people's abilities to organize their homes, this is beyond my pay grade to explain in this book. What if you have more than one diagnosis? You have ADHD and... These are comorbid diagnoses of ADHD. I know, it sounds terrible, but that's the medical term that's used when you have more than one diagnosis at a time and they're related to each other. Here's how I explain it. Let's take, for example, diabetes and asthma. Obviously, those two are very distinct diagnoses, right? If you have both of those, you have two diagnoses, not one. As far as I know, there's not an overlap in symptoms or disposition to have those two diagnoses together. The National Institute on Drug Abuse defines comorbidity in this way. When two disorders or illnesses occur in the same person, simultaneously or sequentially, they are described as comorbid. Comorbidity also implies interactions between the illnesses that affect the course and prognosis of both. With ADHD, there are many diagnoses where there are similar symptoms like anxiety, depression, learning disabilities, OCD, etc. On average, 50% or more of people diagnosed with ADHD will also have a comorbid diagnosis. This is important to know because in my experience, the addition of multiple diagnoses actually multiplies the symptoms experienced. Let's put it this way. If you have mild ADHD and this is your only diagnosis, learning a few strategies and adaptations will significantly improve your ability to organize. However, if you have ADHD that impacts 7 of the 8 executive functions of your brain and the comorbid diagnoses of anxiety and learning disabilities, that's a whole new ballgame. Working with a licensed therapist can help you see the strengths and weaknesses of each of your diagnoses so you can determine how to make the most progress. Are you a perfectionist? While I've not done research on the interaction between perfectionism and ADHD, I have witnessed it many times. Perfectionism appears to exacerbate the executive functioning deficits that are already there. As a general rule, if I have two clients with the same ADHD symptoms and one is a perfectionist, it's going to be monumentally harder for the perfectionist to get organized. The idea that there is a perfect solution or the desire for a guarantee that each strategy will work before we start implementing often leads to never starting. Organization is a journey, not a destination. Many people are not born organized. It is a skill that can be learned, and I would love to teach you. If you have perfectionistic tendencies, I want you to embrace this new journey. I promise to be kind and help you every step of the way. It's not going to be perfect, but getting started will be better than the imperfect mess you have now. I preach progress, not perfection. Perfectionistic thinking will be addressed in the chapter about the executive function of task initiation, also known as getting started. This is a biggie. It's probably the number one reason I see for why people are not organized. And it's not surprising at all when you consider that the executive function of task initiation can be impaired not only by ADHD, but also by anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, and perfectionism. Part 2. How each executive function affects home organization. Executive function number 1, flexible thinking. What is the executive function of flexible thinking? Flexible thinking allows you to move freely from one situation to another and to adjust in order to respond appropriately to each situation. In other words, to go with the flow. Flexible thinking is impacted by both ADHD and anxiety. It's not uncommon for people with either diagnoses to have a rigid my way or the highway response to change. It is my experience that it is often a reaction to the loss of control. Think about a time when you had your day all planned out and then you got a flat tire. Or your child got sick. Your friend stopped by unexpectedly. What just flashed through your mind? Were you excited? Frustrated? For how long? There is no perfect amount of flexibility. Flexible thinking is all about how easily you can pivot and deal with the unexpected that life throws at you every day. In addition to helping you adjust to day-to-day challenges in your schedule, flexible thinking affects how you view spaces in your home and what labels you put on different types of containers. Here's why you need flexible thinking to get your home organized. When you have strong flexible thinking, it means that you can adjust to the unexpected. You roll with the punches. You go with the flow. You can pivot. If you do not have flexible thinking, you're very rigid. You want to have a very structured day. You don't like it when unexpected things happen. One minor thing can happen in the morning and your entire day will be off. Now, obviously, no one is completely flexible or completely rigid. This is a spectrum too, right? I'm pretty flexible and I can think outside the box. I can come up with solutions. But when the unexpected things do happen, it does knock me off my game for a couple of minutes. If a bunch of unexpected events happen in a row, then maybe it will derail half my day. Sometimes it will derail my whole day. Everyone has a threshold of how many things can come at them unexpectedly without throwing them completely off course. Here's a great example of what I see happen 99% of the time when I come in as a professional organizer to work with a client who does not have flexible thinking. They've tried organization and it's not worked. They think, okay, I'm ready to get organized. In their minds, getting organized equals go to Target and go to the section where they sell organizational supplies. Pick out a whole lot of plastic containers with lids in whatever color I like. Spend a couple hundred dollars on those containers. Bring those home, and whatever area of the house is unorganized, I put everything into those beautiful containers. Put the containers on the shelves. Put a picture on Facebook. I'm organized. Organization equals containers equals Pinterest looking like. Then what happens is it doesn't work. They can't remember what they put in their boxes. They can't remember to put stuff back in the boxes. They go buy more stuff because they forgot what box they put it in. They didn't buy clear boxes and they can't see what's in there. So they resign themselves to failure. Great. I tried that whole organizing thing. I spent a good $200 and 3 days of my life to organize the pantry. Then I had to go buy a bunch of new food because by the time I found where I put my old food, it had all expired. You might be laughing, and you might be thinking, bingo, that's me. And that's why I hate organization and I can't be organized. Not true. Organization has nothing to do with containers. You've just been sold that bill of goods. Often, if you don't have flexible thinking, what you think is that this one solution solves this one problem. And if it didn't work for me, that problem can't be solved for me. Someone with flexible thinking is able to see more than one solution to your problem. Problem. Your pantry doesn't look like Pinterest. You're tired of seeing empty boxes that have no cereal bars in them. You think you have cereal bars for the kids. You get up in the morning. You go to the box. It's empty. The kids have no cereal bars. You're frustrated. Somebody has to organize this pantry, right? Solution. I hang over the door shoe pockets in the back of my clients' pantry doors. I cut them in half so they only cover the bottom half of the door and hang them with command hooks. Then you can actually see all the different kinds of cereal bars and protein bars and shake mixes that you have at one time. The pockets are little enough that 5 to 10 bars will fit in each pocket. It's low enough that the kids can get their own snacks. It's easy enough that the whole family can follow the pattern that you set. And then when you plan to go to the grocery store, you can look and see which cereal bars are the most popular and which ones you need to buy again. This system works really well when you're on a new diet and you're trying all those different flavors of protein bars. You can have all the different flavors in different pockets and easily see at the end of the week which one everybody in the family liked the most because that's the pocket that's empty. Different solutions for different problems. Organization is done in incremental stages. If you went and bought $100 worth of beautiful plastic containers for your pantry, it probably worked for at least 50% of your foods. The bins for rices and starches may be working great. Next, you tried the cereal bar organizer on the door, and that's actually working. But you haven't found a good solution for the cereal. Now you're in organization level 2, where the flexible thinking is harder. Problem. What's another way I could organize cereal? Emptying all the cereal into expensive Tupperware containers with lids didn't work because the kids didn't put the lids on correctly and all the cereal went bad. Guess how I know this doesn't work? Solution. What I've started doing with all of my clients that I organize is to just take all the bagged cereal out of the box. Then we put a chip clip on the bag and put all the bags of cereal in a basket. All the cereal comes in plastic, clear bags inside of the box. When you pull that bag out of the box, you can see exactly what kind of cereal is through the bag. This works with Pop cereal and Apple Chex, all of them. They all look different, and they're all in clear bags. This works fabulously. It takes up a lot less space than those expensive containers do, and you could just roll down the bags tighter and tighter, and the cereal stays pretty fresh. Now we've solved your cereal problem. There's only one problem with this solution for cereal. What if you buy both Honey Nut and regular Cheerios? They look the same without the cardboard packaging. So you actually need to take a Sharpie marker and write on the bags which is which. Other than that, this has worked for everyone that I have organized cereal for in the last 5 years. Now, if you really struggle with flexible thinking, what's going to happen is that because you don't understand these different systems, you're thinking, well, okay, great. You told me where to put cereal bars, and you told me where to put starches and cereal, but you didn't tell me where to put tomato soup. And because I don't have flexible thinking, I don't know what to do with my soup. You didn't even mention a canned item. What do I do with canned soups? Don't worry, I won't leave you hanging. Go to organize365.com/ADHDbook to see a picture of the organizational ideas mentioned above, as well as how I store cans on shoe organizers. This is why flexible thinking really impacts your organization skills. You do have to be kind of flexible when you're organizing. Try different things. Keep what's working and try different solutions for what's not. Match the container to the stuff. Here's another example of flexible thinking. I was organizing my nightstand drawer, and my nightstand drawer has office supplies in it because I sit on my bed and do my work at night. Problem. I had bought different drawer organizers for my nightstand drawer in the past, but they weren't working for the items I was currently storing. The traditional desk drawer organizer storage compartments were too square, and I needed thin rectangles. I went and bought a few drawer organizers and brought them home, and they didn't work at all. Solution. I went back to the store, and I went up and down every single aisle, looking at every single organizer that would fit in that drawer, thinking about the things I had to organize. A 7-day-a-week pill container, pens and pencils, nail polish supplies, chapstick, mints, and TV remotes. I looked all over the store, in the bathroom supply aisles and in the kitchen supply section, not just in the office supply area. Anything that was plastic and would fit in that drawer, I looked at. What I ended up with was an acrylic utensil holder that you would put in your kitchen to organize your silverware. And to be honest, I would not buy this one for the kitchen because unless you only have 4 spoons, it wasn't going to be big enough. But it was perfect for my nightstand drawer. Action steps for improving your flexible thinking as it relates to home organization. Number 1, listen to the Organize 365 podcast. Listening to the Organize 365 podcast will help you with flexible thinking because I'm always telling you these out-of-the-box ideas I have about organizing. It will give you a bigger bank to draw from as you organize different areas of your home. It will grow your mental library of alternative organization solutions for each space in your house. Number 2, go on Pinterest to find organizational solutions. Once you know what you want to organize, go look at all the different ways people have organized that item or space. Pinterest is a great resource for you if you really struggle with flexible thinking because it will give you a bank of ideas to draw from as you go to organize different spaces. Number 3, check out pictures associated with the ideas in this book at organize365.com/ADHD